Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. Welcome back. Yay. Way to go, Ben. Nice shirt. Don't know what that means. There's some dragon or something on it. What is that? Pokeball? Okay, so minimum wage. All right, we talked about this just a little bit in the last hour. Welcome to Overnight America. It's 11:08 in St. Louis. And how much money are you making? No. Should we cut minimum wage? That's the big debate a lot of employers have. Now that they were forced to up it, now some want to put it back down to $7.70, the minimum wage in the state. I understand the dilemma. I also understand that it would be a very difficult thing for you to go back to your employees and say, just kidding, but it's happening in some pretty large areas. This is a report from the Post-Dispatch, and I was kind of surprised to see that one of the large people here in the area, Schnucks, a spokesperson, had to come out and say that their grocery chain will be reversing the pay hike. And there's a reason for it. Wages that were adjusted at our eight St. Louis City stores when the city initially enacted the ordinance will revert to the pay scale that's been agreed upon in our teammates' union contract. I didn't know that Schnucks was unionized in that sense. But what's interesting to me in that one is that they're going to default back to what their agreement was with the union. So I wonder how many of those people that are actually employed union-wise now are looking back at this and saying, man, we got a raw deal. Mostly because that's the deal your union gotten for you. It wasn't maybe the best deal. Maybe in the future, next time they do a collective bargaining agreement with their employee, they'll say, let's just put it up at 10. We know you can do it because you did for that little bit of time. So employers in the city now must decide, cut their affected workers' wages or continue paying the $10 an hour rate. A couple of questions I have for you. If you are someone that employs people, you don't have to tell me who you are unless you want to brag. But you don't have to tell me who you are. I'm just asking, what conversation have you had with your employees? Are you going back to the minimum wage? Or are you going to keep it at 10 bucks an hour if you bumped them up? I'm just curious. Just curious what your thoughts are. Because in this story, it's a mixed bag. Some do it, some don't. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So that's the union contract. Dennis Shaw, 36, said he comes from a proud tradition of union workers. We are St. Louis. We work here. We live here. We should be able to make valid decisions here of our own, and we know what's best for us, Shaw said. So the whole right to work issue is starting to come up. Do you think they're going to use this example? You better believe it. When it comes to right to work, yeah. When they start talking about it in the state and extend the conversations out, this is what they're going to say. Hey, you're in a union. They just negotiated a worse contract for you. You got bumped up to 10. Now, thanks to your contract, you're forced to go back down to minimum wage. You don't think they're going to use that in their campaigning? You better believe they are. Oh, boy. Or just blame the Republicans. Blame the Republicans. That's the way to do it. It's created that jingle. If you want to use that jingle, you're not allowed. Sorry. The Republican-led legislator, however, approved legislation to nullify the local ordinance here in St. Louis. Governor Greitens, the Republican who opposed local minimum wage, announced June 30th that he'll allow the bill to become law without his signature. So basically, effectively reverting it back. When it comes to cities enacting minimum wages, I feel like you got to do it as a state or not. If you're going to agree upon this, get it into the state. Get it on a state level. Local 655 spokesman says the union will press for higher wages in the local contracts. Of course, they're going to. But again, it's not going to help them now. Apparently, the people working there, the ones that did have their wages bumped, said they went up about $300 a month. Now they're going back down to lose the money they had. So I feel bad. I mean, I really do. If you thought, oh man, $300 a month extra, this is going to be great. And then you made decisions based on that, as in, well, I have this extra $300 a month. That means I can lease a car now. Well, that'll make up for me leasing a car. This is great. Or I didn't know if I can afford to move into this one place, but $300 a month, I can afford the extra money to move into this larger apartment or this house payment or whatever. And then they make these decisions based on the money that was picked right from underneath them. It's terrible. Many businesses said the city's minimum wage hike put them in a competitive disadvantage with cities' businesses outside the city, which is very true. I mean, that's predicted. Very predictable that would happen. On Friday, a coalition of groups, including Show Me 15, Missouri Jobs and Justice, and others, plan to launch a petition drive to encourage local employers to keep paying at least $10 an hour. I get that. What you should be working for is to get it on the state. Get it on the state level. As opposed to trying to shame local employers. Businesses that agree to keep the minimum $10 an hour will be lauded on the company's website and can display their signs showing their support. Aw, isn't that cute? Just so cute. You get a sticker. What does $10 an hour get you? A sticker you can put on your front window. Aw, they're going to be lining up to grab that beautiful sticker. Employers that refuse may face protest. What a great way to get your point across. Hey, mafia style, we're going to come break your kneecaps if you don't comply. Is that the next step? We're going to protest, then we're going to throw bricks through the window, and then we're going after your family. Is that like the progression that we're talking here? Employers that refuse may face protest, possible boycotts, organizers, and Save the Rays campaign, told the Associated Press. All right, so your thoughts on this. Can we not shame the employers? But really, if you're someone that employs people and you were affected by this, are you going to revert back or not? And again, you don't have to say your name if you don't want to. You can stay anonymous. That's perfectly fine. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I see Mike's calling in. If you can hold on, we got to go to break, but Mike, I'll get your call next. Start writing down another joke for when we get back on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back. Always a pleasure to be with you, especially on a Sunday night where we get to get a little, you know, on Sundays we put our hair down. We just let our hair down and we just let it all out. Well, I want to at least get a few calls on this. So minimum wage here in St. Louis now went from $10 an hour down back to, what was it, $7.70? Something like that. Yeah, $7.70. Effectively at the end of August. Now, employers are pressed with the idea. They were forced to raise the minimum wage for their employees that were making that. Now, do they drop it back down to minimum wage, or do they keep them where they're at and just say, hey, this would be an awkward conversation if not? Let me know. Maybe you're in this situation. What's it like where you're at? You don't have to specifically say where you're at. I mean, I don't want people calling in disgruntled or anything, but, you know, if you're an employer and you want to stay anonymous, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Mike here. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
About the minimum wage?
Yeah.
My answer is 100% no. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, number one, I understand that some business is about profit and all that. Now, and some are just greedy and some are not. To be fair, and because the argument they used to say, well, you raise the minimum wage, it hurts jobs. I disagree. On the other side, I actually think when people get the minimum wage, they actually spend more money. But my opinion, no, I just recently got a raise, and I don't work in the city. I work in the county.
Yeah.
But I'd say 100% no, because it's just ridiculous.
So you're saying
it needs to be raised.
When you say no, you mean like the companies that are at the crossroad where they could drop down the wage, you're saying no, they shouldn't.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally wrong.
I agree. And I feel like if you were an employer and you had a group of people working minimum wage, I got to imagine your entire workforce isn't minimum wage, just a portion of it. I feel like, you know, the price difference between that, it would be worse to have to explain to them, I'm going to drop your wage. It's almost like you're forced to keep it at 10. But did you hear the union rep for Schnucks who basically said, our contract with the employees are this wage, so we're going back to what the contract says? That's, you know, that's a tough position to be in if you're represented by that union.
Yeah, if you're in a union, yeah, you got to pay union dues.
You pay union dues for them to drop your wage, yeah.
Yeah, because you got to represent them in a union. But, yeah, I didn't plan to say it totally wrong. But I didn't plan to say this, but I'll tell you something else. Now, to show I'm fair-minded, and I'm not down anybody. I'm just saying whoever it is. To be true from another case, some people ain't worth minimum wage. They ain't worth $10 an hour if they don't do the work. Sometimes, another example, yeah, nothing wrong with college. I didn't plan to say that. It just came to my mind, which is good. But some people don't have college education, but they know the job. They do real good. And some people got college. They got a lick of common sense, don't work, and they make more money. To me, that's completely stupid. I'd rather reward the ones who really work and know what they're doing and been loyal and make big money for the company, but that don't happen in reality.
Yeah.
You've
been into places and you're thinking to yourself, this person wants to make more than minimum wage. Like, they care so little about the job they're doing and the service is terrible. And you're thinking to yourself, if you were trying to justify making more money to me, there's no way I would say yes right now.
Yeah, but how about this business-wise? Let me ask you business-wise. How does business justify when you have people work for this company for years and years and make them big money? Somebody comes in, don't know half what they know, and they make more money. I don't know how they justify that. That's dumb to me. There's a lot of fairness in life.
Yeah.
But anyway, instead of bubble, I just thought of some recently just practicing, and I think I could tell it real quick to make you laugh.
Let's hear one. Let's hear a Bobo joke.
Okay, let's see. Okay. Bobo, I got a question for you. What does a busser and a bus and a woman got in common?
A bus and a woman?
Yeah, a busser. You know, buses, tables.
Oh, busser. I see. Yeah, and a bus and a woman got in common. What's that?
Bus line.
Bus line. Oh, no.
All right. Oh, yeah. If that isn't funny enough, here's the other part that was funny. What's the busser got in common with the bus? He buses people. And the last one I tell you, that really should make you laugh, and I get up here for fun. Did you know Bubba got in trouble? Bubba went into a grocery store, and, you know, it says self-service. And he was going down the street, and the cops were after him. And Bubba said, what'd I do? They said, you take this stuff, this food, self-service? Bubba said, yeah, I'm honest. He said, you steal? Bubba said, no, it's a self-service.
Good hearing from you, Mike. Thanks. Always testing out. Mike tests all his material on Overnight America. So I feel one day he's going to have a full routine that he can take on to stage. Maybe we can get him to open Lou Fest. Get Mike Bobo open Lou Fest. Let's go to Jim calling in about the minimum wage. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan. I like that you are on Overnight America now, and you take calls from listeners.
Is this your way to say you're about to slam me in a bad way?
No.
Oh, God.
My way of saying that I never liked waiting on hold forever when the previous host was in charge of it, and then he would hang up on you after like a half hour. But I don't care which way it goes as far as like the, you know, minimum wage or reducing it or whatever. But what I don't like is that the Chamber of Commerce or some of these associations will get together and, they'll like conspire against the employees to decide what they're going to do. I think they shouldn't be allowed to talk it over. They should have to make their own decision about it and then let the employees go and work where they feel that, they want to work most.
Well, the employees are able to do that anyway, right? You can just leave a job and go work somewhere else. What would prevent them from doing that?
What would prevent them from doing it is if there's no incentive to do it, which if the Chamber of Commerce comes in and says, only pay $7.70 an hour, then there's no incentive to go to a better employer.
So you're saying, like, you see the minimum wage as more, it's less of a minimum wage and more of a wage ceiling that some employers take?
Well, I mean, it goes both ways because people say the same thing about unions. They don't like collective bargaining because forces employers to pay more than they should have to. Mm-hmm. But it goes the same way with the Chamber of Commerce. Then when a new business comes into town, I've seen this in places where they'll like want to pay $12 or $10 an hour. The Chamber of Commerce will be like, no, everybody else only pays $8.
Oh, you're oh. 10 or 12. Yeah, I've never heard that happen then.
Well, seriously, no.
Wait, so the Chamber of Commerce could step in and say, we don't like you're paying the people too much?
They can't stop them from doing it, but they'll mention to them, you're gonna kind of ruin it for all the other businesses, or you're going to lose all their employees.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever actually heard that. I got to find a specific example of that, because but there's things that I've seen employers start to offer to employees
Nobody's probably going to admit that happens, because it's probably illegal, but I know it does happen.
Really? You know that for sure? Like, you've heard, like, firsthand, you've known this to happen?
Yeah, it happens in Northwest Arkansas specifically.
Mm. I know that some of the larger employers are starting to offer pensions again. We thought pensions were a thing of the past, but employers are starting to offer it as an incentive to bring young people back in. That's like the hook. And it's amazing to me that some people are starting to figure out, well, if you treat your people well and you pay them well, they're going to want to work for you. You're going to attract the top employees that way.
Yeah, if you pay peanuts, you get...
Here's the thing. If you pay peanuts, you got to get real lucky with who you're finding. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to leave, and they're going to find a better job. So if you want to just constantly hire... Yeah, thanks, Jim. If you want to constantly be in the hiring process, then yeah, that sort of thing will get you in that rut. Real quick, before we go to break, I want to go to Arnie here. Thanks for holding on.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
So what's your thoughts here?
My thoughts are that over the years, we've had raises in minimum wage, and you're telling me that the unions would have not allowed that raise? Whoever that union rep is should be voted out. I spent 40 years fighting for the unions all my life. I've never heard once where the union would say, no, you can't. We're going to go back to negotiation.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about I'm guessing the rate of the employers or the rate of the employees in this case was based on what minimum wage was. So when minimum wage is dropping at the end of August, they're saying, okay, it's X amount of dollars above minimum wage, so we're going to revert back to that since the minimum wage is dropping.
Haven't we had rate increases over the years where they raised the minimum wage, and you're telling me that the union then would say, oh, we can't because we haven't negotiated that yet?
Well, what they negotiated was, let's say they're making $8.30 an hour and the minimum wage is $7.70 an hour. So that's 60 cents above minimum wage. So if it jumps up to $10 an hour minimum wage, then they would have made like $10.60. But when it drops back down to $7.70, then they go back down to the $8.30 amount. So if their contract as union members are based upon what the minimum wage is and they make X amount of dollars above minimum wage, then when minimum wage drops, so does their wage. So I don't think it's them negotiating poorly. I think it's just them not planning that contract out appropriately.
Well, I don't think there's ever been a contract where it says the minimum wage using that term.
Is that right? They don't base it off of minimum wage? Oh, I have no idea. I don't know what that contract looks like. I've never seen it, so I have no idea.
Well, I've helped negotiate contracts before. And I can guarantee you those two words would never be in a contract.
Whoever made that deal...
A dollar amount.
So you're saying whoever made that deal kind of made a bad deal?
I think they did.
All right. Well, I think at this point, if you're working for Schnucks, as pointed out by the Post-Dispatch, you're probably upset too because it's going to hit you directly financially there. Hey, Arnie, thank you for your call. Good hearing from you.
Okay, thank you.
That's some good insight. Whoever wrote that contract up, I think people are going to look at this in the future and say, well, we don't anticipate minimum wage getting dropped off a cliff. But when they wrote it, maybe they didn't anticipate it. And so the wording's off. Either that or they're using a pretty poor excuse. I don't know. All right. When we come back, Overnight America continues. Rand Paul this weekend had some pretty interesting things talking about the health care bill. I want to play some clips from that. Mitch McConnell deferring action even on it. So who knows if we'll see anything. They were going to work into August, but now, guess what? Now they're delaying it even further. And the reason they're doing it, I think, is just a real, it shows their hand, right? They're playing poker, it shows their hand. And snorting chocolate. Who in the world would do that? Apparently, Senate wants to step in and stop kids from snorting chocolate. I don't know if it's a real thing or not, but they're talking about it. We're going to get to it on Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And yes, this is interesting. O.J. Simpson's parole hearing. I don't know if you saw this, but ESPN's going to be breaking in with special coverage on Thursday. Media hype building up around the parole hearing next week, with ESPN and other networks announcing that they will be carrying live feeds. Are you going to be watching O.J. live? That's going to happen noon Central time, live from Nevada. And he's been in jail for, what, 8 years now, something like that? ESPN's mini documentary series that they put on O.J. Simpson, was it Made in America or Only in America? Something like that, was excellent. Boy, did I learn a lot about that. And it should leave without a shadow of doubt in your mind that O.J. Simpson is so guilty during the what happened with his estranged wife back then, and how he got off the hook and how the defense was just masterful. Then he got in trouble yet again because he couldn't keep out of it. The footage and everything they put in there was pretty, pretty amazing. So who knows? Maybe he'll get paroled. O.J. Simpson will start going out and making media appearances. I'll tell you that if O.J. Simpson ever wanted to walk into this studio and join us on Overnight America, I would say, yes, come on, Juice, come on in. I would also be a little nervous. Maybe I would have to make sure other people were in the building. You can come in. Just so you know, the big guys are hanging out right outside the door here, just in case. All right, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. Maybe I'll get to that later. I want to play some clips from the weekend, when it, especially the stuff from like earlier today. Rand Paul is someone that I love and trust when it comes to what's going on with the health care bill. He is someone that's promised to put his own health care bill out. Instead, he kind of just revised what was out there. He said, here's the things I would change in the health care bill to get it up to this point. So is there going to be a vote on the health care bill? Probably not. Why? We've learned that Senator John McCain, as he's absent from Senate right now, is recovering from surgery from a blood clot that apparently came over one of his eyes. That's a bummer. You don't want anyone to be physically hurt like that. So, yes, John McCain, I wish you well. I'll be praying for you, buddy, and wish you the best. But while he's recovering, this is what Mitch McConnell said. I'll try to do it in my best Mitch McConnell voice. The Senate will continue to work on legislative items and nominations, and will defer the consideration of the Medicare Act. It's pretty good, Mitch McConnell. That might be one of my better impersonations. You want me to do that in Bernie Sanders' voice? Let me try it in Bernie Sanders. While John is recovering, the Senate will continue our work on the legislative items and nominations. My Mitch McConnell's a lot better than Bernie. Okay, so with the GOP holding a 52-48 majority, they can still lose only two Republicans, two of which have already committed, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky and Susan Collins from Maine, which let's hear from Rand Paul, which, by the way, stalling the vote because of the health issues of Senator John McCain. What you're doing is you're using him as an excuse to say your bill's not good enough for passage. You need more time. It's your stalling effort. You're stalling, and you're using this man's medical issue as a way to stall. I don't know if that's shameful or smart. I really don't know. Let's talk about the repeal and replace. What's Rand Paul got to feel about this? He was on Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace, earlier today.
Does Senate Majority Leader McConnell have the votes to pass this revised bill?
You know, I don't think right now he does. And the real problem we have is, you know, we won four elections on repealing Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
But this bill keeps most of the Obamacare taxes, keeps most of the regulations, keeps most of the subsidies, and creates something that Republicans have never been for. And that's a giant insurance bailout super fund.
I love the term, a giant super bailout for the insurance companies. One of the drums that Rand Paul bangs on all day, I don't want health care, I want to bang on Obama all day. You know, one of the drums that he bangs on all day is the fact that insurance companies make a lot of money. They have record profits year after year. And he also bangs on the idea that the health care bill, though not perfect, it at least needs to get rid of a lot of these things that Obamacare put in. And there's not enough being done. Which I get. He bangs on that all day. So that's going to be part of his explanation.
That's not a Republican idea to give taxpayer money to a private industry that already makes $15 billion in profit.
So if this bill does not pass, what happens?
get ready for the drum to be banged.
Well, you know what I've suggested to the president, and I talked to the president again, you know, when he was in Paris just this last weekend, or I guess on Friday. And I've told him, I think we can still, if you know, if this comes to an impasse, I think if the president jumps into the fray and says, look, guys, you promised to repeal it. Let's just repeal what we can agree to. And then we can continue to try to fix, replace, or whatever has to happen afterwards. But the one thing we should do is try to...
Let me just mention this. This is what scares me the most about that. You can repeal it. And the idea is to afterwards replace it. If they can't figure it out now, what makes you believe they're going to figure it out? Then we could be stuck with a repeal without a replacement. Then what happens? You know, if you think now is bad, talk about the uncertainty of a repeal without a replacement. Think of the uncertainty there. That could be very, very messy. And as much as Rand Paul keeps pushing this, I just don't understand his optimism to get the job done if they can't do it now.
But the one thing we should do is try to repeal as many of the taxes, as many of the regulations, and as many of the mandates as we possibly can. I still think the entire 52 of us could get together on a more narrow, clean repeal, and I think it still can be done.
I don't want health care. I want to peel Obama all day. Dun, 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 dun. I think like that's next. So what's next here with Rand Paul? Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Here's another question from Chris Wallace here. Let me do this before we go to break.
Because back in January, you said that you had told the president, and he agreed with you, that you needed to repeal and replace at the same time.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's interesting that it's not. I'm still for replace. It's just my definition of replace is a lot different than some of the big government Republicans. My idea always was to replace it with freedom, legalize choice, legalize inexpensive insurance,
freedom.
Allow people to join associations to buy their insurance.
Freedom.
I'm still for all of those. And I think those that
freedom.
Could actually be part of clean repeal. In fact, most of the ideas I've had on letting people join groups to buy their insurance,
freedom.
You know, letting the plumber and his wife.
I love it. Let's get some freedom going here. Love that term. So basically what he's essentially saying is, you know, if you want to create your own trade unions where you can hop into an insurance commune, by all means, do it. How common is that going to be? Like, is that an actual thing that people believe will happen? I mean, it could happen. It happened with the religious exemptions, right? So you had like, what was it, Medishare? One of those companies was essentially that. If you are a Christian and you can prove it, you can hop into our Medishare or whatever it was called. I'm not endorsing anything in particular. I've known people to get into those. I think that's what it's called. They love it. They said it's great. It's essentially the same thing, though. But let's say we can get all the plumbers into one and all the electricians into one.
Join a large group like the Chamber of Commerce. Those ideas are actually welcomed by virtually every Republican. That passed in the House of Representatives unanimously.
Here's what President Trump says in his...
You know what? Before we get to President Trump's comments, how about we go to break? Because I want to play the rest of these clips. And I want to sing about freedom some more. If you're wondering, the Congressional Budget Office will not release a score on Monday for the Senate GOP revised health care bill. If I was part of the CBO, I would be so upset with them because they're making all of these modifications. And as soon as they come out with one assessment, guess what happens? We need you. Here's Mitch McConnell again to the CBO.
We have another Senate bill. We need you to run the numbers on if you're in the Senate over here.
So it's like wherever you work. You ever have that one person that keeps emailing you revision after revision after revision, and all you can think about to yourself is, just get it done right. I'm sick of these revisions. That's basically Mitch McConnell in the CBO right now. Oh, not another revision. Can't you just get it right? You already signed off on it. That's basically how they're, I know it's their job, just like it's probably your job, but it doesn't mean it's any less frustrating. You know, and the guy with the suspenders, glasses, and the coffee mug that says world's best boss comes up to your office or cubicle and says, hey, like office space. Hey, did you see that email? We need, the client has another revision we need you to do. Yeah. Tell me that doesn't drive you up the wall. All right, Rand Paul, more disagreements with the president next on Camo X. Hey. About Obamacare all day. Okay, enough of that. But That is basically what happens. Oh, you want to hear it some more? No, okay. Okay, no payoff? All right. I want to bang on your top all day. All right, I've had enough. So, Rand Paul, welcome back to Overnight America. Todd Rundgren. He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is he? I don't think he is. He's one of those people that they say should be in there. Because when you have a masterpiece like this... doesn't like that song, but you go get in for one song. I don't really know Todd Rundgren all that much, but... All right, I do want to play some Rand Paul, because we want to bang on that Obamacare drum all day. So, where does he disagree with the president? This is the president's statement, and Chris Wallace asked him about that. What can you contend?
The Senate health care bill stops the Obamacare disaster, expands choice, and drives down costs.
Is the president wrong, Senator?
You know, I would caution about overselling what's going to happen. I've been involved with healthcare for 20 years as a physician. It was in terrible shape before Obamacare. It got worse under Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
And I predict that the fundamental flaw of Obamacare will remain with the Republican plan. And this is a big reason why I can't support it. The fundamental flaw is that mandates on insurance cause prices to rise, and young, healthy people then say, hey, I'll just wait till I get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurance pool gets sicker and sicker. It's called adverse selection. We also call it the death spiral. The Republican plan admits that it will continue. They just say, hey, guys, we're going to subsidize it. We're going to dump billions of dollars into the insurance companies and say, please charge less and try to counteract the death spiral. But the Republican plan doesn't fix the death spiral of Obamacare. It simply subsidizes it.
So right. And here's the problem. It is so right what Rand Paul is saying. It's so backwards the way the healthcare system is, right? Normally speaking, what you're doing is kind of like Social Security in the sense where you have the idea where all the young that are in the system are paying the taxes to help the old. Why? Because when the old were young, they were paying the taxes for their old, and then go so on and so forth for the past 100 years. Or yeah, we're Social Security, maybe not 100 years. It was in the 20s. I can't remember when that was put in. Not quite 100 years, but a long time ago. So in that sense, the idea is, let's make healthcare like Social Security. Well, here's the problem. When you have, it's different than Social Security. When you have where the rates keep going up and up, and you have the young trying to subsidize the old that are in the high bracket, is that fair? Probably not. Mostly because if you are taking the burden on of paying the high pool, and you're placed into it, and you're not getting the coverage, then I think the young people are smart to say, maybe I don't want to be in this Obamacare. Maybe I'll self-insure. Maybe I'll do this or that. It's so different that you're putting all the healthy people in a risky pool, making them pay the risk factor off for the people that are in the high pool. And is it the real burden of the young to force them to pay off the people that are in the high pool? Is it their responsibility? Should it be their responsibility? Or ultimately, what are you doing? Are you going to hurt the people? Are you going to hurt the people that are in these jobs that are struggling already to begin with in order to pay off the people in the high? So that's where the Obamacare comes in and says, you know, we're going to help and let the government take care of you. If you can't afford it, we'll subsidize it. The Republicans come in and say basically the same thing. If you can't afford it, well, we're going to throw some money at it, and we're going to help, and we're going to subsidize it, and we're going to give it to the states or do this or that. Doesn't fix the problem. Republicans have the ability to fix the problem. They just don't have the legislation to fix the problem. I say they have the ability because they have the votes. They have the people that sit there right now. And the problem continues to get worse. And what the worst thing, in the worst case scenario here, think about how much Republicans banged on that Obamacare drum all day. Over and over, they banged it and they banged it and they banged it. During the election, they said, we're going to repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. People that were running for Senate, people that were running for the House, people that were running for local offices, mayors, governors, everyone said, if you want more of Obama, vote for my competitor, right? Vote for the person that's over there on the left side. And they kept hitting that, and guess what? It worked. We have a President Trump in office. We have more people that are getting more Republicans getting seats in all kinds of elected offices. And they continued on and on and on. So they were banging that drum. Guess what happens? They don't repeal, they don't replace, or they do replace with something that is very similar to Obamacare that we know is going to fail. Then what's going to happen? The Democrats during the next election cycle are going to point back to this and say, look at those Republicans. Oh, for shame. They repealed, they replaced, and were in worse shape. Don't you ever vote for a Republican. And guess what? The people won't. They have been trained to fight against the bad healthcare system, and they will recognize a bad plan. A repeal and replace isn't enough. They actually have to put something on worthwhile. And as Ben Shapiro said, I absolutely 100% agree with him on this. What he said was, if this doesn't work or if you put a bad plan in place, guess what's going to happen? You're going to assume all the blame for Obamacare. Republicans, you said we're going to stop it. If you don't, it's going to be on you, and you're going to just accept it all. And it's going to be the worst-case scenario next election. So over at America, Cambo X.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.